I'm going to talk about holiday heroes, and if you look around here today, we're surrounded by heroes here today. We're getting into that time of year when we mistakenly ask our kids for a Christmas list, right? And so what you may think is a few items ends up being a whole page, right, both sides, of things that they desire. When we were growing up, you remember the Sears Christmas catalog that would come out? And you would glean through there, and you would be looking at all those different things and coming up with all kinds of ideas of things you really didn't need, but we wanted, right? Saturday morning cartoons, you remember that? Man, they'd bombard you going into Christmas, all those neat little toys that, man, you couldn't live without. And unfortunately for my girls, we didn't watch TV. They watched videos. And so when it came to Christmas time, you'd ask my girls, what do you want for Christmas? And they'd say, I don't know. Man, that's a good place to be, right? When they don't know what they want, you don't have to figure out things. And so you give them what we think they want. All right, that sounds good. We all have a wish list. And as we kind of head to the age of 50 or so, we don't call it a wish list anymore. We call it a bucket list. Right? But when we think about it, these things that we wish for, a lot of times they're earthly things, and most of those things that we really wish for have very little spiritual value. But I believe if we were to ask God, he may give us a different kind of wish list. You know, the Bible says that he has in store things for us that we can't even imagine, you know. And so I think if we began to ask God for maybe his wish list for our lives, maybe some things would be a little bit different, and maybe our list would be turned around a little bit. There's two things on God's wish list, and I believe, number one, it's salvation. I believe that God wants everybody to know him as his personal Savior. And secondly, with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, there comes a comfort. And I appreciate the word this morning. For those who are not familiar, that's prophetic utterance that God gives. It's one of the gifts that God gives to the church. And that's kind of where I'm going this morning. And I thank you for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And it kind of just reaffirmed in my heart what the Lord has already been putting in my heart. So the Bible tells us to set our thoughts where? Not on things on earth, what? But on things above. And so that's what we want to do here this morning. And we're going to do that. All right. So we remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. So I came across my tie here, reason for the season. So I thought I'd give you a special treat here today and actually look like a pastor. All right. So the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, if you remember the story, in Luke chapter 2:14. And this is the New Living Translation. It reads, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And if you're familiar with the King James, it says goodwill to men. But I like the New Living. It says to those with whom God is pleased. So that makes it kind of conditional here today. If you want to experience God's peace in your life, guess what? You've got to be in a relationship with him. He has to be pleased with the life that you're living. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your care, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I like this because it shows that we are to be proactive, meaning that as we cast our care upon him, our anxieties, our concern, our fears upon him, it says that he will take care of us, that he will comfort us. And so our God is a God of comfort. And so Christmas is not always a comforting time. We understand that for everybody. But I believe it needs to be for everybody. Because I know that there are losses in people's lives. I know people have lost loved ones. And I know there's empty chairs at tables and around rooms when we celebrate these holidays. Karen had a family member, a cousin, that passed away on Christmas. So, you know, that kind of leaves a hole. It kind of leaves maybe a little bit blemish on the holidays. We know that some people have gone through divorce and they're split families. And I have heard of people actually getting served papers at Christmas time. Can you imagine? How spiteful can you be to serve papers during a holiday, a family season when you know, a spouse and the kids, when family is emphasized to be one of the most important things. We know that when some of our families get together, there's a little bit of strife. There's a little bit of controversy that kind of gathers with us. Sometimes there's family distance. And we understand that sometimes we can't be with all of our family at one time. We kind of have to sometimes pick and choose what side of the family or what kids we celebrate with. And sometimes that causes a difficult situation. When we were in our young 30s, we were in our first pastorate. We kind of adopted a guy who was going through divorce at the time. We were in our young 30s, and he was about 40. And so he was our son for a while. And so during this holidays, we'd invite him over to be part of what we were doing. And there was just certain things that would trigger him off. He grew up in a very awful home situation. He said if we got an orange for Christmas, he said we were lucky. And so he had a lot of these things inside of him, a lot of hurts, a lot of pain. And so there'd be just different things. You wouldn't think much about iced tea, right? Some of you drink it with your meals. We were big at having iced tea at our house. And we asked him one day, do you want iced tea? And the guy starts bawling. And we got him a red flannel shirt for Christmas one time. And so that kicked him off. And he started bawling. I don't know what those triggers were. I don't know what those memories were that were lodged within this individual. But they triggered something. And it wasn't a very comforting season for the holidays for him. We know that the holidays, a lot of people feel lonely. We know that instead of good tidings of great joy, we recognize and we see in our culture that the suicide rate explodes. It goes up during the holiday season. We know that sickness and addictions can have a toll on your family. Lack of financial resources, I think, play a big role because of our culture puts so much emphasis on commercialism, on buying gifts and having something for everybody. And so we go through the seasons with guilt. We go we come out of the season with indebtedness, right? People go out there and max out their cards just to make sure everybody has gifts or multiple gifts. And so we recognize that the enemy is good at what he does. He's like a magician trying to refocus our attention away from the trick so that we can get our eyes off of the real reason for the seasons that we celebrate, and that is Jesus Christ. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he warned us. He said, don't let Satan outsmart us, for we are familiar with the enemy's devices, his schemes. And so we need to recognize here today that the enemy, if he can steal your joy, if he can steal the reason for the season, he will, if we allow him to do so. Romans 8, verse 39, Paul gives us a promise. He said, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is an awesome promise. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. And that love, what? When we're separated from God, I believe causes discomfort in our lives. And so that's what we're going to kind of emphasize here, God's comfort during these holiday seasons. And so we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 here today. And today, I just want you to kind of think about something. Today's a good starting point where we can begin to look around us and know that maybe the joys that we're celebrating are not so familiar to other individuals, and that other people are having a hard time rather than a good time at the holiday seasons. So let's read this, and let's kind of apply some things to our lives here today, because I believe that God wants to use us as his people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start with verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Didn't we hear that this morning? He is the God of compassion. who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we have suffered. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Verse 8, we do not want you to be misinformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So I just want you to begin here is by saying that Jesus saw people as hurting and lost. He saw people as sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus brought salvation and comfort. And we saw that in verse 6. We're going to see that again in other scriptures, that those things are tied together. His salvation and our comfort. Let's just define comfort here today. Comfort basically means encouragement. It means exhortation. So if you look back in that scripture that we just read about 10 times, you will find the word comfort. You can replace that word comfort with encouragement. And that word encouragement is paraklesis, which is the same basis for the word parakletos, which is the comforter or the helper, the Holy Spirit. And so today, let's just reaffirm here today that if we are born again and we are saved, we are also people of the Spirit. And so Galatians 5:25 tells us, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So let's not just be people filled with the Spirit, but let's do the works of the people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. So here we go. Because Christ is in us, we can comfort others. We can be comforted, and we can share the comfort that we have experienced with those that are facing difficult times. And so today I want to talk about some holiday heroes. And so are you ready? All right. You are a hero. Whether you know it or not, you're a hero. So holiday heroes are superheroes. And so if you would put those verses up as we go through this, that'll help me out because I don't have the scriptures in front of me. Verse 3 and 4. So if you can help me out there so that you can see what I'm talking about here today. Superheroes. Holiday heroes are superheroes. So when you're going through difficult times, you have received comfort from God. And so because we have received that comfort from God, we have that ability to turn it around and we can comfort other people. So a hero is not because we do special things, but a hero is sometimes just being there. How many know that? Sometimes there's a situation where you can't buy your way into the help. You can't preach your way through. But sometimes it's just being there. It's just having an ear sometimes. So a superhero is somebody that is there in the time of need. You are God's representative. You are a reminder that God has not forsaken them. Even though you may not do much, you may not say much, but you are a reminder of God's faithfulness to you through somebody else. Superheroes are ordinary people who do extraordinary things. You know, Spider-Man is Peter Parker. Bruce Wayne is Batman. Clark Kent is Superman. All right. Ordinary people going about their day, but when there was a time of need, what did they do? They did extraordinary things. And today, there's no capes, no masks, right? As you look around this room here today. But there are plenty of opportunities where we've had the chance to be a superhero for somebody else. When you were there, when they had a need in their life, and you were there and able to fulfill that need. So you're a superhero. So this room is filled with superheroes. Look around you. That's kind of scary, isn't it? You are superheroes. Secondly, holiday heroes are supersized. How many know that God wants to enlarge your capabilities, your impact, your influence? The things that we go through are refining us. They are helping us to mature. And so in verse 5, it says, we share abundantly and provide in superabundance. For just as we share abundantly in sufferings, we also turn around and what do? We superly, abundantly meet the needs of other people through Jesus Christ who is inside of us. So the greater suffering I believe that we have endured in life is the greater the capacity to comfort others. So let's remind ourselves here this morning that apart from Christ, suffering often leads to despair rather than comfort. So it's important that we remain in Christ so that when we're going through things, guess what? We have the ability to be comforted and to comfort others. You know, we often kind of self-examine ourselves. We often say, I don't have much to offer. But the truth is, it's not about you. Do you understand that? It is Christ in us that we are ministering to other people. If we have lived, are you alive? Are you breathing? Then you have something to offer. God wants to take what you have and he wants to multiply it. He gives us tools to work with. By the things that we go through, by the things that we suffer, he gives us the ability, what? To help other people. And when we're going through trials, it's not a question of why. You know how we always cry, why me? Why my situation? Why? The question is what? What is God doing in you to prepare you so that he can use you? So, holiday heroes are supersized. Are you supersized this morning? I'm not saying you want to go through or even pray for difficult situations, but we are assured here today, what we go through, we can turn around and bless other people. Holiday heroes are super saints. Verse 6, it says there in that scripture, whenever we suffer. How many know it's not a matter of when? It's going to happen. Whenever we suffer, every time we suffer, we find it as an opportunity in which we're going to be comforted, and it's going to be an opportunity for us to share comfort to others. Suffering does something in us. As much as we hate it, we dread it, we pray against it, it is doing something within us. Romans chapter 5, 3 reads like this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. I didn't hear any amens. How many are glorying in your situations? Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know. Do you know? We know that the suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through who? The Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How many know that hope, when we give people hope, it brings them comfort? You can't have one without the other. When we give people hope, it brings comfort to their lives. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are a super saint. Amen? Turn to the person next to you. Tell them you're a super saint here this morning. And that person may say you're lying, but you're not. Super saint. You have this, maybe if you don't agree that you're a super saint here this morning, maybe you have not discovered your superpower yet. How many know that everybody has some superpowers? You are not ordinary, church. You are extraordinary. There's a scripture in Daniel 11:32 that says, those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Isn't that a great scripture? That's a wonderful scripture. So today, we know that we are not the Catholic Church, right? We do not put a whole lot of emphasis on sainthood like they do. But how many know they're always looking for saints? And how many know that it is only limited to a few individuals? And so there is a strict criteria. There is certain spiritual guidelines that they have to go before somebody can be considered a saint in the Catholic Church. But I want to tell you here today, you know, they may look for people that are being a certain spiritual caliber. They may be out there looking for those who have done documented miracles. But here today, we are encouraged to know that if we belong to Jesus Christ here this morning, you are a saint. Amen. You may not always act like a saint, but you are a saint according to the Word of God, right? You're all saints here this morning, and you're all called to do the work of a saint here this morning. So, holiday heroes are super saints, all right? We don't have to have certain achievements. All we need to do is have Christ in us and allow Him to work through our lives. Holiday heroes have been given a super deal. How many of you know we have a good deal going? I don't know. I have a good deal. I'm glad I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I know Him. I'm glad that He takes care of us. And I'm blessed. But as we go through the Christmas season, it kind of brings the shopper out in all of us. Even you men, all right? We like to shop as well. I'm one of those individuals. When I go to the store, I know where I'm going for. All right? We're not just shopping to browse around, spend hours. Nope, go in, get out. All right, move on. So Christmas brings out the shopper in all of us. And we all want to save more money, right? But the truth is, the more we save, the more we get, right? You save on this, so you go over here and buy this. So it doesn't really make sense. But warranties are important, right? If you're buying something of value, you want a warranty to go with it. You don't want to take it home and it not work. You want a warranty. You want to be able to take it back if it doesn't work. When we follow Christ, we have been given a great guarantee. How many know that? He guarantees us things. For one, it says He gives us the Holy Spirit as a what? Down payment, as a guarantee that the rest of the promises in the Word of God are ours here this morning. Man, that's a pretty good warranty. So when we go through trials, when we also get comforted, what we experience this warranty, and we allow others to experience this warranty as well. Are you here? All right, we're here. Okay. So Christ's gift is free, isn't it? And it has a lifetime warranty. And pity the person who wants to take it back. Amen. Amen. So, holiday heroes are not supercilious. Man, I'm really stretching it on this word, all right? And Karen's like, I never heard of that word in all my life, but this is what came to me. I was inspired, all right? All right. And I actually know how, Linda, to pronounce this one, all right? Half the time I pick words I can't even pronounce. So we're to guard against this kind of a spirit. What am I talking? If you read verses 8 through 10, you'll see that Paul testified of the goodness of God. It says in that scripture that they were in despair. He says they thought when they were in Asia that it was the end, that they were truly going to die. They weren't going to make it. And Paul says it wasn't all bad because it did something within him. How many of the Bible says God causes all things to work for good, right? For those who love God and are called according to His purpose. How many know Paul was called, right? All right. How many know Paul loved Jesus, right? So we see in here, we see Paul's reasoning in what he was saying here. He said, this happened that we might not rely upon ourselves. The truth is, he said we had to depend upon God, not our own abilities, not things that we did in the past. And they were faith-building experiences where we couldn't do it on our own, but we had to truly depend upon God to do what needed to be done. And so I want to define this supercilious definition here. It means to be arrogant. It means to be haughty. It means to be egotistic, overconfident. It means to be conceited. And so what Paul is saying here is we didn't have a chance to be conceited, to say it was all about us. But he was giving credit because it was God who was bringing him through these things. And so as we look at this here today, how many times have we gone through something and we think we can work our way through it? Or that we've worked our way through something similar, and so what do? We want to attempt to do it the same way again. Paul said we got to the place where we despaired of ourselves. I imagine they probably tried everything in these situations to get out of it, to protect themselves. And it got to the point where he said, man, we thought we were goners. But we see here in this scripture that he said, no, we saw God's faithfulness through it all. And Paul testified of God's deliverance. Paul's hope was in the Lord concerning what they were going through at the time, the future trials, and in the prayers of the saints. And so this is my last point, and I know you're excited, but holiday heroes have a super support system. And Paul shares that with us there in that verse 11. Paul was a very confident individual before his experience on the road to Damascus. He was a Pharisee. He was confident. But we see that through his relationship with Christ, these things were stripped away out of his life. Paul had been through too much. Paul declared his need for others. And this is where I want to kind of bring this here this morning. Paul said it was the intercession or the prayers of the church that enabled him to persevere. How many know we need one another? We need the church. Look what it says in verse 11. It says, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on behalf of God's gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. But I want to look at the King James. You jumped ahead of me on my scripture here. And so this is the King James, and I like this. It says, you also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given to the many on our behalf. So Paul was saying that the prayers that the church gave us were a gift. They were a gift. And Christmas has become centered around the giving of gifts. And Paul is saying here that we have been given a wonderful gift. This word gift is charisma. And it's the word charis, which means grace. And so what he was saying here was, you have given us the grace, the gift of grace in your prayers to us. That's the same word that we read in 1 Corinthians 12 with the 9 gifts of the Spirit. They are gifts of grace. And so we can give grace to one another consistently every day by praying for one another. There is no greater display of grace that we can show towards one another than to pray for one another. And it is a great place to start. You know, sometimes we don't know what to do, right? But why not begin with prayer and allow God to speak for you from there? So we're coming into this season here where we see a lot of commercials on TV, people asking for money to help certain organizations over the holiday. And we often see the one for abused animals. You remember that? Look at those puppy dog eyes. Doesn't that make you want to just get your wallet out and just throw money at those things? Oh, poor animals. All they want is your money. All right. Whether these dogs get any help, I don't know. But I do know that there are people that are in need. And I believe that people are more important than animals. I know that's a shock to some of you. And I know some of you really love your animals. But I'm going to put my money on people and not animals. People are hurting, church. The holiday season amplifies the needs in people's lives. But we know the reason for the season. Jesus came to save and to comfort people. And we are ambassadors of that love, that grace, and of that comfort. So this is where I want to go with this. First, this morning, most of us have been through some things, and maybe you know what it's like to be down going through the holidays. As we were in ministry, we were in what my mom calls God-forsaken places that even God couldn't find. We found those places to minister in. And in those places, we didn't make a whole lot of money. We were away from family. At times during the holiday, it was only the two of us. And, you know, it kind of gets hard, I might say. I mean, we had each other, but it's also nice to have family when you're going through the holidays. And now that Karen's parents are gone, it brings a new kind of sense of a loss at the holidays. And we've sat through the front row seats to the pains and losses of other people. And many times, you don't even know what to do. I mean, all you can do is give them the gift of presence. I mean, you can't take the pain away, you can't take the loss away, but you're just there to remind them that, you know, God's still there. That he's still in the midst of those situations. So, for some of us, the holiday season will bring a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, and just fellowship. But for others, it creates the opposite. It just comes crashing down on them. Their losses, their hurt. A lot of them go in paralysis, socially, spiritually, emotionally, physically. All right, they're feeling it during these holidays. And so I'm going to kind of walk out on some thin ice here today, because I believe that God wants to heal these individuals. Whatever they have lost, whatever they have gone through, whatever they have suffered, I'll even use that word here today. As we heard this morning, we have a God of compassion that wants to meet you in that situation and lift you out of that situation. So maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're listening online here this morning, and that you need some extra encouragement this holiday season. Maybe it's this holiday season that maybe will be a breakthrough for you. Not that we forget, we don't forget, but he can remove the pain. Instead of dreading the holiday, maybe it's time to embrace the holidays once more. Because these holidays remind us that there is a Savior, that there is a healer, that there is a Prince of Peace, there is joy that is ours, that he is our comforter. And I believe in those moments, God takes those hardships and those heartaches in our lives, and he wants to, what, comfort us. He wants to make maybe us a blessing to somebody else during this time. I think it's time for a gift exchange. Give him your hurts, give him your pain, give him your losses, and let him give you his grace, his strength, his comfort, his love. Sometimes we've got to let go. And this is a very hard word, because if anything takes us away from anything that I said he is, and it becomes bigger than God in our life, then it becomes an idol in our lives. Do you understand it? Anything bigger than God, our hurts, our pains, our losses, can become an idol. And we need to deal with it. Because he can meet us in the midst of those situations, and he can bring healing. He can bring joy. He can bring peace back. This is a season of lights. I mean, how many of us enjoy driving down the street at night, watching houses, you know, lit up, decorated for this holiday season? And how many know that we are the light of the world, and that the world is in darkness and they're looking for light? And it says they will see our light and what? Glorify our Father who is in heaven. We started out the scripture in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1. It says, praise be to God, the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in what? Some of our troubles, part of our troubles? No, all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble, not just some, any trouble, because we have received comfort from others. He wants you to be comforted so that you can turn around and be a comfort to somebody else. So God wants to touch you. If you're going through things and you're dreading the holiday seasons, hey, the Father of compassion wants to comfort you. He wants you to get past the hurt and the pain. Secondly, here today, may God use us. May we pray that we might have a sensitive spirit, to be aware of those around us that maybe need to experience some comfort. As we read in the beginning, if they don't know Jesus, good tidings of great joy, and he gives peace to those what who please him, and earth life is far from Christ, they're not going to know that comfort. But they can know that comfort through us. So maybe part of our wish list or our bucket list here today would be that we would pray for discernment, that we might pray for a word of knowledge for some of the individuals around us, that we might be led by the Spirit, that we might overflow in love, compassion. I think that's a good thing to put on our list, on our bucket list. God is looking for you to be someone's superhero today. He is asking you to look around. He's asking you, be there for someone. Don't assume. You know, if you ask, people tell you. They'll tell you. We need to be someone's superhero. We need to be a super saint here today. We're already a super saint because why? The Holy Spirit lives in us. He lives in us, church. He wants to work through our lives. Superheroes aren't just for the big screen or the TV. We've all probably at one time or another have been somebody's hero, where we have come through. And sometimes we have actually heard the words jokingly, you're my hero, because we were to help them at a specific time in their life. Holiday heroes, that's not a great title. But it's a great place to start here today. Because this is where it is magnified in the lives of people. People need us. God needs year-round heroes, right? Lord, this morning we pray that if there's somebody here today, and I invite you to allow us to pray with you. Maybe you're already dreading the holiday. Can we comfort you this morning? Can we pray over you? Can we maybe even ask what it is that we can do for you as a church? We would love to do that. But Lord, give us discernment here today, word of knowledge. Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. Give us some revelations. And most of all, pour out your love in our heart. The Bible says we love, have the capacity to love, because you first loved us. Hallelujah. Is everybody here this morning would love for us to pray with them? I mean, we'd love to pray for you this morning. Just stand up where you're at here this morning. I know there's people in our body that are hurting because of the losses in their life. You stand out in the middle. Pray for her. Pray for the... Pray for the family. Hallelujah. Anybody else this morning? Maybe no need. Let's all stand this morning. Lord, Paul wrote, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Father, some of us maybe not have been in that deep valley of loss, of hurt, of pain, of sickness, Lord. But Lord, it doesn't mean we can't minister. It doesn't mean we can't reach out and be there to share what you have placed in our minds and our hearts to share. Today, Lord, as Paul wrote, he said, "As God has comforted us, we comfort you." Sometimes, Lord, there's nobody that can comfort us like you. Only you can do certain things, Lord. We are limited in our capacity to comfort, to help, to heal. But Lord, you're unlimited. And today, Father, in the lives of those that are maybe not here, but Lord, that we know of, Lord, that just need healing in their lives and just need to feel your compassion and your presence, God, we're praying for an outpouring. We're praying for a breakthrough this season, God. That, Lord, that you will be allowed to be their Savior, their healer, their Prince of Peace, their joy that gives them strength, their comforter, Lord, their best friend. We're praying today, God, that you would be that for them, Father. I pray that you would help us, Lord, as your people, Lord, to just begin to look around us, Lord, not just to be in a hurry to get somewhere, but, Lord, begin to look around us, Lord. Help our hearts to be touched. Help our eyes to see what the Spirit sees. Help our ears to hear what the Spirit may be saying, what people may be saying. God, begin to use us. God, we are in a hurting world. We are in a world, Lord, where people have been deceived and tricked by the enemy. We live in a world of hardened hearts. But Lord, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Give us the gift of grace. Help us to be, give the gift of prayer, that charisma. Break down the strongholds, Lord. Give us some breakthroughs, Jesus. And Lord, we pray, use us. We want to be your superheroes, God. We want to be your super saints, Lord, that are filled with your Holy Spirit, ready to go at a given moment. Always reminded of that scripture, Lord. Be in ready in season and out of season to give a word for the hope. Hallelujah. Hope brings comfort. Help us to be ready, Lord, to speak your word. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you today. We thank you for Paul's testimony here in 2 Corinthians. May it be our testimony as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give you the praise and the glory. Amen.